Alright. And I need the chat. Here
Yeah,
it
let
is.
me record. There it is.
Do you let them know in the Slack room?
Oh, that is a really good idea. See? Just like Jeff doesn't know how to do the chat thing when I'm not here, I don't know how to do the streaming
Tony,
thing when he's not
we
here.
just have a recording of you doing it and just play it when you're not
Yeah,
here.
this is an idea. So let's do this. And I also forgot that I should do the
And
social
tell,
media.
hey, S lady, explain the chat room in Patrice's voice.
Yeah,
Oh,
a little
okay.
AI.
So you're already replacing me. I see how that goes.
No, you're never replaceable,
That's
Patrice.
all good. But that actually reminds me that I should post on Hello, Mastodon real quick. ETN. And we have no Jeff today. Oh, I can't even remove him. That's cool. G.
Does your shirt say Tom?
Lake Minnetonka,
Oh,
Minnesota.
nice. I visit there.
It
It's beautiful.
is nice. I had to get a shirt because Lake Minnetonka, I think, was the lake they used in the Looney Tunes cartoons. It always seemed like, hey, let's go to Lake Minnetonka.
Thought it was late Titicaca.
Maybe that was it. Maybe they got
They
mixed
were
up.
quite risque back in those days.
Oh, yes.
Go back and watch some of those old cartoons. Like, wow, you won't get away with that this year, in this generation.
it's all over the place. So, goody goody. Okay. Then, let me check the stream real quick to make sure it's working. Is it working? Okay, so.
Sure, say Tom.
Okay, I have audio, so it seems to be fine. Alrighty. Let's start. Hello, and welcome to a really cool episode of The Big Show. Yes, we're talking about tech today, even on 4th of July. I'm super surprised, I have to say, that we have actually people in today. The American Tech Network showed up. Like, it's actually interesting. I would have expected, like, nobody's going to be here. But nope, all here. I'm your interim host, the II host.
I
II.
squared.
I squared, yes. Oh, I squared. I like that. The I squared host, Patrice, sitting in for Jeff Gamet, who's out partying somewhere, I think. Probably drinking. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, he's in Colorado, so like, who knows what he's doing? And who is usually sitting in for Ewan Rankin, who is, I don't know what he's doing, voting, I think, today. That's what I heard.
Yeah,
It's
he's
happening in the
voting.
UK. So 4th of July is a very important day. I'm here in Vienna for a full year. I moved in. My Independence Day was last year, basically, 4th of July. And yeah, the UK is voting. So interesting day.
Big day.
Big day. And with me, I have, as I mentioned, at least two people from our American Tech Network side. We have a special guest today, Dave Ginsberg. How are you
Hey,
doing?
I'm doing
Hi.
well. Yeah, I was a bit under the weather this week and kind of recovering from a little bit of an ailment, but I'm doing better. And I'm sitting here watching TV, and I wasn't going to plan on doing anything today because I got to get some of my rest. But Why not do some rest and do a podcast? So hey,
Yeah,
here I
see,
am.
hang out with some friends, talk about some
Yeah.
tech. Like, why not? I'm very happy that you're feeling better and that you're feeling
Thanks.
up to being here with us today. To,
I
I mean,
appreciate it.
kind of a little bit, like, I know you probably would have liked to party today a little bit, but this is
Yeah.
fine too, right?
This is good too.
Like, fourth of July, I can always do that tomorrow, right?
That's right. Got the
Party
weekend too.
tomorrow or the weekend, yeah, that's true. And then there's a big party coming up next week. We'll talk about that in a second. So, and then going from the north of the US to the west, basically, going to California, we have, of course, Tom. How are you doing? How are
I'm
things?
doing great. I guess this is the sick bay episode. I caught the COVID finally after 4 years. I got COVID a couple weeks ago, and I finally tested negative today.
Wow.
But I guess Dave and I are representing the sick bay contingent.
Did you get the sick note from your wife? Like,
yeah.
I didn't. I should have had her sent a note to Jeff to
yes.
have an excused absence from the big show.
Exactly. That's what we actually we should ask the others. Like, do you have a sick note for today? Like, that's not how you do it. No, it's fine. Yeah, we're recording this. If you're listening to this later, 4th of July 2024. So yeah, of course, big day right now. So yeah, it's like we should. I think we should just dive into the topics, right? Oh no, we wanted to see. I remember something. We wanted to talk about like a big party that's coming up next week. At least if you're in the Chicago area and if you're joining MaxDoc, because yes, that is coming up. I vaguely remember it was, I think, a spin-off after MaxDoc, sorry,
Mac
after MacWorld,
World,
kind
right?
of stopped happening. And it's been super successful, even survived the pandemic somehow, even made it through. Like, there were a couple of
Yeah.
MaxDocs, I mean, remote, but there were a couple during the pandemic years. So that's pretty cool. And this year, even better, even bigger. With like a workshop day, and I think everything's
Yes.
in one venue, I've heard.
Yeah,
So
all the venue is I've been there before. It's probably the biggest venue that we've had in all the eight, well, technically 10 years with the pandemic years.
So like 100, you mean? Like 100 years at least.
Yeah, at least. Well, I've spoken at all the live events,
Of course.
but yeah, it's going to be a really great event, and I think yeah, this workshop idea is just amazing because we got some great people doing them, and it's good. They're 90 minutes each. It's a bonus Friday sessions, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm speaking on Saturday. On Saturday, I get to be up right before lunch. And I'm talking about Apple services. So it's gonna be a good. And there's gonna be a lot of great topics there too. Yeah, it's such a great event. There's so many, all of our friends from here on the show, and my friends on my show, and all over the Apple community that are going to be there. And it's just a great place to meet people you haven't met before, or people you've met have not met at all. You can just network and have a great time. And the great thing about it is it's a boutique conference, so it's everybody's approachable. All the speakers are going to be out in the audience and out and about, and you always can walk up to any of us and get asked questions. So that's what the attendees really like, is being have that interaction with us and ask additional questions if something they didn't get answered during the regular presentation. So, but it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it really sounds like it. If you've listened to Mac Voices Live, the Road to Mac Talk, like a lot of really great like presenters, I mean you included. Jeff is gonna have a talk. I think Chuck is gonna have one. But Terpstra is there.
Jeff and Chuck are doing a
Yeah,
dual presentation. So,
exactly. And I think Kelly Gumont, I think, is there if I
Kelly
remember
was a
correctly.
last minute addition. Allison
Yes.
Sheridan,
Yeah. Mike
Michael
is gonna
DJ
do a work.
Eisenberg.
Yeah, Mike is gonna do a workshop about Ecamm Live on Friday.
Yeah,
So
Mike
that
Potter.
is. Mike Potter, yeah, organize
I
like
asked
as if
him.
he didn't have anything else to do.
I
He's
just
also
I
he
asked him
has.
that. I'm like, God. Mike, you're good enough at your hands just being the coordinator of this conference. You're going to do a presentation too. And it's like, yeah, he's real passionate about Ecamm. So I think, and then they just became sponsor this year, so I think that's gonna be a great partnership. Hopefully next year, maybe we can get Doc Rock to come.
It might be possible. Think he would like to.
I think he would. So, but yeah, it's gonna be a great fun. The great thing is, it not only is it the convention center, the hotel's there too, so we don't have to leave. We can be there the whole time. We'll have places to hang out and not have to leave. Of course, you can't leave. There's plenty of things you probably might want to see while you're in Chicago area. It's about an hour, about a little over an hour plus out of Chicago. So you'd have to plan that accordingly if you decide you want to go back into the city and then have to come all the way back. It's a bit of a drive. So
No, just stay there. Like, easy peasy. There's a
yeah,
lot of cool
exactly.
people there.
I think most people will.
Enough of Apple and Mac events, but I really wanted to talk about that.
Thanks.
And there's like if people are interested, MacStockConference, I think, .com, or probably just
MacStock
MacStock.com.
Conference and Expo.com.
Yeah, so like that. I think he has all of them, to be honest.
He has MacStock with
And
the year for probably the next 10 years.
yeah, so exactly. I mean, he's
So
smart.
MacStock
Who knows?
2024.
Exact 2024. So yeah, head over there. There's online passes as well. If you just want to like join remotely, you
Yeah, there's a digital
can.
pass.
It's a
You could
digital
purchase too.
pass.
Not live,
So
but you'll be able to see it later.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's recorded. No, actually, didn't he do a live stream
We did
last
it live
year?
last year. Yeah,
Yeah,
not this
last year,
year.
not this year. Okay, but there's definitely recordings that you can watch later. So that's pretty cool. Would anyway work better if you're outside of the US. So yeah, we should talk about some other Apple stuff that's happening. Non-Apple stuff, sorry, I should say. See,
I
I'm
was gonna say, you
already
threw me off
on the Mac side. Like, no, this is the Mac, this is the big
here.
show. See, I'm keep
Yes.
confusing them. This is the big show where we not talk about Apple usually. And there is plenty to talk about despite the fact that summer is slowly approaching and we're like at this like, the weather here is not really that summery so far. It's really cold. But yeah, it's happening. So they will probably kick off the summer of fun very soon. Stay tuned. You'll be surprised. Like one of those weeks will be like, hey, summer fun is here, and then you'll see. But not today. Right? Not today. So
That's right.
we have some news to talk about, and I don't know who's gonna go first. Nobody has put anything in the chat yet. So who has the fast fingers? That would be Tom. Who brings another cool story about some SSDs?
Yeah, so my story is about the latest announcement from Kioxia, who is a memory chip maker. Used to be part of Toshiba, and they came up when they split off. They came up with this great name, Kioxia. That
Probably
was a
super easy to
sarcastic
spell.
comment. Yeah, super easy to spell in any language.
Yes.
We can talk about company branding later, maybe.
Okay.
Toshiba was such a great name; everybody knows it. But
Yes.
then they went with
Yes.
Kioxia. They announced a 16 terabyte SSD, and this is based on the latest advancement in QLC NAND 3D. So this is where they process within a single die, they process multiple layers of NAND cells,
It says
NAND storage
218
cells.
layers here.
218 layers now,
That's
and
crazy.
they're a big partner of Western Digital. So if you buy Western Digital NANDs, the chips are coming from Kioxia. They're kind of the same company in some ways. The thing I liked about this article was they have a nice table about what the state of the art is from each of the memory suppliers for NAND and how many layers they've done and the bit capacity or the die capacity and so on, and also the interface speeds.
Yeah, and the
So
density as well, like it's not just the layers, but how dense are the layers. That's
It's
super
just
interesting. I see that here.
really crazy. 22, almost 23 gigabits per millimeter squared.
I mean, if you think about that, a millimeter squared is not even like tip of my fingernail. That's more than that. And it has 23 gigabytes of storage. Like, that's, I mean, a pretty decent
That
sized
this is just
storage.
insane.
Mid
So
it's
you know
like
when
people's entire like whatever MP3 library was not
in a
even that
square
much
millimeter.
in a square millimeter. So wow.
So
Can't
obviously, you know,
imagine.
but the delay from the announcement until you actually see a part that you can buy at on
Sure.
Amazon or something is, you know, probably a year-ish that, you know, something on that order. It gives you an idea what's coming down the pike here. And I think the other thing to keep an eye on is the interface speeds, and they use MT, which is basically, it's kind of like bytes. I can't remember what MT stands for, but it's basically, well, just look at the relative speed is probably the thing to look at compared to the previous generations. And they keep ticking up 20, 30, 40% faster on the transfer speeds as well. And that has to do with what's happening inside the chip and the interfaces. You know, they're just like every chip, you know, DDR5, whatever, they're upgrading the interfaces. And there's a bunch of jargon acronyms about the type of flash technology, which really isn't that interesting, but
Mega
yeah.
transfers is what MT stands for. Mega
Right.
transfers per second.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
Okay. Mega transfer.
I think it's
Whatever mega
because
is.
you know, you can do a 16-bit transfer, a 32-bit transfer, and they try to eliminate the differences by doing
Mega
using
transfers.
MT. Right. Sort of flattens that out. But I'm just amazed that they, you know, when they first started doing the stacking, I thought, well, it'd be cool if they get to 28 layers or, you know, maybe 50
No.
layers.
Yeah. I mean, I
That's
see
what it
here
makes
SK
me.
Hynix 321. Not as dense, but 321 layers.
Right. So the bit cells aren't quite as dense, right? That's a TLC, a triple level cell, which means it's got 3 bits per cell. The Kioxia's got four. It's a quad QLC.
That's still crazy.
Well,
So, you know, I worked in the industry for 40 years, and I'm still amazed at what they can accomplish.
And I mean, we're slowly. I mean, the like the there's like spinning disks still have a place, especially in servers. I mean, it comes to like large amounts of storage, large amounts, and like I would say slower but like longer lasting. We're reaching the point where that's not really like something that, yeah, you would consider anymore. Because the SSDs are reaching almost the same capacity, still a little bit more expensive.
I was gonna say,
Quite a little bit expensive
yeah.
still, but I mean that price is going to go down.
Yeah,
So
and I think
that's
the use case for spinning disks just keeps getting narrower and
yes,
narrower. There's still
yeah,
a
and
place, like you said.
yeah, there's still definitely some and. But I mean, you also see like the there's not a lot of innovation happening. I mean, there's still some happening in spinning disks, but I think I don't know if we've reached the physical limit or it's simply that, yeah, all the research is going into SSDs these days. Probably a little bit of
Yeah,
both.
it seems to. It seems to be. I mean, because you start looking at the in the market with drives. I'm a crazy person like we up I'm sure we all are buying drives all the time. I mean the pricing on the 2 terabyte solid states had just dropped dramatically. I could just imagine what this drive is going to be at 16 terabytes. Holy cow! You're probably talking 5,000 plus US for a cost on a drive like this. And where is this going to be? Where is this going to apply towards, and what application it's going to go towards, or what you need, how you need it? I mean, you're looking at, you know, we all have, many of us have NASs, we're still using mechanical drives, so they're so much cheaper, but still, you're buying, you know, 18 terabytes mechanical drives. They're still expensive,
Yeah,
$400, depending
expensive
on what the
and they're slow
and they're slow on
comparatively.
top of that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
but
can definitely see
servers
some.
too.
Yeah, I can definitely see some use cases. I mean, servers is for sure one. Like if you need like if you have really big databases, for
Yeah.
example, database servers, they usually need both the speed and the big storage capacity. Like anything big data really probably needs that. I can see it in video production. Like I mean, you want to have tons of space for like the 8K videos and do that fast, like edit that fast and render and so on. So, and I think there the 5,000, if it's like something at $5,000, probably not a big concern. Like, okay.
Yeah, for that
We
market,
spent
you're
a
right.
hundred million on the on the movie, or
Yeah.
500 million on the movie. Like, let's buy 1,000.
I mean, for me, for personal use, I primarily use drives for backup. And I have kind of a price point of, $100, $150. That's what I look for. How much can I get for $100, $150? And my only worry is the retention time. So I usually have probably four drives in my rotation for backups. I have two machines and I back them up once a week and I kind of rotate the drives, not very rigorously, sort of ad hoc. I go, yeah, I need to write to a different drive this time. But, if I needed something from 5 years ago on a NAND drive, I'm not sure how reliable that is. A year, 2 years, maybe 3 years is probably okay. Spinning disk, I think you could count on 10 or 15 years as long as they were stored properly.
Yeah, it depends on, like, I mean, also usage, like how long
Yeah.
they're running and all of that. So, but yeah,
Yeah.
usually 10 years, not
I mean, if you wrote
underrated.
a hard drive once and put it in a temperature controlled closet, it would last a long time.
Yeah,
I'm not
that's
sure what
true.
the latest stats on NAND are, but I don't think I'd rely on it for more than a couple of years.
Not even sure we have that data because they haven't been in wide enough use for long enough to do
Yeah,
that.
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, spinning hard drives we've had, if you really go back for a very long time.
Least 50
And
years.
yeah, something like that.
my backup is I've got like I think I have three of the mechanical hard drives, like 14 terabytes each or 12 terabytes each. But I don't turn them on all the time. I mean, when I'm doing the backups, so that's just to not. That's the thing, because you have a drive you won't, and like especially a server, it's on 24/7. So
Right.
you
My
you
server
got to
here is
have,
on 24/7. So.
yeah, and you got to have drives that are server standard, because those drives are going to fail.
Yeah. I
So
mean,
should
even
I?
though those
That's
have
a good.
like. Go for it.
Go ahead,
I was just now I'm rethinking my backup strategy. Maybe I
Tom.
should have one spinny drive in my, have a couple of flash drives, and one spinny drive might be a good idea, huh? Because like you say, you don't write them that much, so you're not gonna kill them on write cycle.
I got the
Exactly.
Synology NAS going, but those two drives are constant. Those are 24/7. I don't care.
Right.
If they fail, they fail. It's a small Plex server I have set up on there, and I could back things up there too.
I was just thinking, what is like the name for your backup method, Tom? Like, there's the what is it called? The father child backup, right? Where you have, or whatever it's called, I don't remember, but basically you have like I don't know, one every day, and then once a week, and one once a month,
Right.
and one once a year, and all of that. The Tom version is like, oh, it's kind of random. Like I have like this disk and that disk, and every now and then I switch, and it's kind of the Tom
It's when I think about it
method.
method.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it works. Like I don't think it's better or worse than others because you're still switching between different disks. So
Well, and it's my personal machine. It's not
yeah.
the end of the world if I lose 3 or 4 days of work. When I
Yeah.
was working, of
Still.
course, I worked at a place that was backing up basically constantly.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's for most people that actually works because
Yeah.
like
And the cloud too. I mean, I think a lot more companies are going
That's true.
cloud-based
Yeah,
backup
that's what I
in
do.
addition to physical.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like I have a Backblaze backup. It's basically
I have
my thing.
Backblaze. I love Backblaze.
Yeah, set
And
it
I've
and
got
forget it.
Dropbox, and I've got OneDrive. I've got Google Drive. I got them all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not technically a backup, but it does help with
Well,
recovery sometimes. Like I
yeah.
had that recently. Like I did. Like we were recording. Oh, Jeff and I were recording. Like Retro Rewatch, and I pushed some button, and the note with all the notes for the episode just disappeared. I'm like, I don't know what I did. Like it turns out I put, like a real later realized I just put it in the trash. And I could just gotten it out of there.
All
It was like,
right.
oh, where did I get it from? I was like, okay, I
Google
could
Docs,
log
yeah.
into Backblaze and get it from there, or I could just go into the OneDrive, like delete folder and the web interface and restore it from there. And that's what I did.
Nice.
So,
So you use OneDrive as a mirror for your hard drive all the time?
if basically I live in OneDrive,
Yeah, same. I have
so
OneDrive
all
as
my
well.
files are in OneDrive.
See,
on business level as well as personal for me.
yeah, same.
I've always had such a hard time with it because I don't want to rely on the cloud for stuff that I need now.
Yep. But that's the thing. You can keep a full copy locally.
Right.
So no
Same
matter what
drive, what's your
happens, you
sync?
always have a full copy. You can decide like if you wanna like how you wanna set it. But if you want, you can just only have enough space, which for me that's getting harder because I have
Well,
so much
that's
data.
my biggest problem. I'd have to pay for it because of,
Yeah, I do
you know,
that. You do have to pay for
I
it. I do
Well,
that.
I mean,
I mean, but
I have 365, but
then you have it.
yeah, you have one
well, I have
terabyte.
it.
Like, there's a terabyte included, so.
Right, but I have a lot of photos.
Yeah, I mean, but me too. I have about 10 years worth of, no, 12 years worth of photos currently from like basically my Entera iCloud is backed up on OneWave as well. And that's tons
Okay,
of
I'll have to
photos
look into
and
it again.
other
The
photos.
last
Yeah.
time I tried it, I guess I couldn't figure out how to keep the local copy.
You can just go into
And just
settings and
syncs.
change it. Yeah, just put it in the in settings. There's a where you can decide if you want to offload or not and just disable that.
Oh, the offload
I
button.
did. I do that. Like my Mac Mini, for example, has like a full copy of my OneDrive, and that's where I do the backups from. Like I back up the OneDrive as well. Locally, I actually offload files because you can even decide file by file, say, or folder by folder, say, keep this always and so on. So
Or on
it's
demand, they
quite
call it.
nice. Yeah, on demand. That's what it's called. Thank you.
Okay, so we settled on my new backup strategy. One spinning drive, let's see, two
One
NAND
SSD
flashes, and one drive.
and OneDrive. See? What
Okay, all right,
do we call
settled.
that method? The improved Tom method.
Yeah.
And Tom Backup Plus.
Tom Backup Plus. Okay, I
Ultra.
like that.
Ultra.
Tom 2.
Tom 2.
Like B2, like B2 from Backblaze. It's Tom 2.
Okay,
Yeah,
Tom 2.
cool. We kind of drifted off the SSD, but I think we're done with it. So the question would be, what's your story, Dave? I see. Oh, Sony has some interesting news from you.
Yeah, Sony, I guess, has killed off the recordable Blu-ray and optical discs for the consumer market, but business-to-business production will continue until it's unprofitable.
Which might be
Says
very
this is
soon.
a, yeah, which could be sooner than later here. It says it's a recent report here that Sony plans to cut about 250 jobs at its optical media plant, offering workers early retirement in preparation to phasing out the recordable disc production. It has confirmed when it's said in an interview, but yeah, I think what's basically happening here is as we kind of know it. I mean, Blu-ray media, just like DVD media, is this old school. It's, you know, it only lasts for so long. I mean, yeah, we've known that that DVDs can last for a good long time. Could be 100 years. It's slow. It's having to physically store it is a challenge. When you have hard drives, you know, you store things, you know, in your NASs and such, and you usually get a lot more data than you can with a single Blu-ray disc. So I'm honestly not surprised this is happening. I mean,
No.
just like the DVD industry pretty much is gone too. I mean, I had a whole stack of, I think I finally just got rid of them. I was like, what do I need these for anymore? I mean, you know, I had the
I did the
DVD,
same
I
thing.
had
Have a
the
player
DVD,
anymore?
what was it,
Yes.
DVD DL, and I do have one. I have a Pioneer Blu-ray one for the Mac, but
And Jeff just like reaches and grabs it, like as you
yeah,
always do. You have everything in like
oh,
reach and
right
distance.
here. Yeah, but you never know. You might need a disc from time to time. But I'm not all surprised about this. I mean, even the movie industry is going as slowly and slowly. The DVDs are disappearing. You know, all these retail stores are stopping selling them. The Blu-rays. But even on the backup end of things, this was a good segue story here from what we just talked about. That backing up with this media is, I don't think, is ideal anymore as it was many years ago. So
It,
not
I mean,
surprised at all.
it never was for, I mean, maybe it worked for certain people in certain industries for, on like, I can tell you from medical, it never was great because they don't last the long enough. Like,
No, and then
good luck trying to get a DVD to last 10 years. Not a chance.
yeah, there's that.
And 10 years is the minimum as well.
The capacity of the optical media was
Right.
always less than the hard drive on your computer.
100%, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So you needed a whole stack of them just to back up like your hard drive.
Right. And then
Those
there's
old floppy
the,
disk days.
is there going to be like vinyl for audio? Is there going to be, you know, the video files that want to keep the Blu-ray disc around because they.
Oh,
There
vinyl's
is.
making a comeback.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Some of a
For
comeback,
some people,
somewhat of a comeback.
for some people, yes. A little bit more than it was before, yes. I mean, there is definitely a group of people who really love their Blu-rays or even their DVDs, or there's probably some people who are still on VHS. But, you know, there's always some
Gotcha.
people like that just stick with whatever they liked, and they liked it and they keep buying it as long as they can. I mean, I was like at a friend's recently, and she had like tons of Blu-rays. My mom has tons of Blu-rays, so, and she still keeps buying them. I'm like, why? Like, you have like cable at home, you have a really good internet connection, you can have anything you want. Why do you keep buying them? And she's like, I just like them. I'm like, okay.
Well,
So
you
there will
got
be
you.
people that buy it as long as they can, but I mean, this very clearly shows you the money isn't there anymore. Because I mean, that's why they're saying to keep the business around, because I'm guessing it's making just enough money right now. That they're saying, okay, we probably can keep it around for a little bit.
There
But
must
this will
be
blind.
still enough of the business side, you know. I don't know if it's
And the business would probably.
your movie company still shipping new movies on Blu-ray? Is there still a market for
Some
that?
are, yeah. There's here or there,
Some.
like the really big ones, they've worked, maybe still worth it. But as I said, that's gonna stop now, like more and more.
And there's probably a
Netflix already
bunch of
stopped.
companies. You know, there was another article about how the you remember the story about the Japanese government running trains or something that were still relying on, it's either 3.5 or 5 inch
Five
floppy
and a
discs. They
quarter. Oh,
finally got rid of
that's
them.
every. Those are everywhere still. Like old systems like that, especially in the government sector. I think, was it even recently? I don't remember. Maybe it was Japan or it was France. I think it might have been France who said they're finally,
It was Japan.
that they're basically now switching away from like floppies for their nuclear systems. I'm like, okay,
And
yeah,
they're still
maybe a good
running
idea.
Windows XP.
No, probably
So how
3.1.
many of those kind of
Yeah,
systems,
three
you know,
point
that
one.
got upgraded in 2000 are now relying on CDs or DVDs or Blu-ray discs, you know?
I can also make the segment story is, we know Netflix already stopped giving out DVDs, but the Redbox filed for bankruptcy, the parent company of Redbox, and they were still around here in the U.S. anyway. The kiosks, and apparently they're still reusing. People are still getting their DVDs at the local Redbox kiosk, but the company, Chicken of the Soul, I think was the company that owns them, had to file for bankruptcy because they're just losing nothing but money on that. So I would not be all surprised if that disappears too.
Yeah, it will 100%. And I mean, I think the other side to this is businesses are probably willing to pay a little bit extra for the Blu-ray still. While consumers are usually very price sensitive. Like, business will say, well, if it costs us whatever dollar more, yeah, fine.
No big
We'll just
deal.
charge it to the whoever needs it, or we'll just like make it up somewhere and say, oh, it costs more. Fine. But consumers will be like, oh, this costs like 15 instead of 10. I'll just stream it.
So, Blu-rays, as I remember when there was the DVD HD versus Blu-ray wars was about 15 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I think a little bit
Because
more.
I can remember
Early
being
two
in
early
Japan.
2000s, so almost 20 probably at this point.
So they've been around plus or minus, let's say, 15 years for consumers. And
In
Blu-rays.
some way, yes.
And they'll probably
Yeah, I think, yeah.
hang on for another 10 years for those weird businesses still using it. It's not very long, though.
Yeah, I think they never reached the popularity that VHS and DVD had, because
No
at
way.
the point where they were starting to get popular, we could already download stuff. Like, we could buy it. You could buy like movies on iTunes or other marketplaces like it. And I mean, not everybody, but a bunch of people were doing it. And then streaming, I mean, Netflix was still already around.
Or
stuff
even
like
just
that.
the DVD Netflix was really gaining steam. Yeah,
Yeah,
because I
I saw.
remember, keeping my eye on the prices of Blu-ray players, and they were expensive initially.
Yeah,
And just
they
about
were
the time that
expensive
they,
for a long time. That's the problem.
yeah, and of just
Yeah.
about the time that they were getting more reasonably priced, there was no need for it, you know.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, kind of the DVDs were cheap and super popular, and
Right.
Blu-rays were around, but very few people were buying it. And then by the point where like they got cheap enough that people would consider them, they were already there was already the next thing, and they're like, okay, why would we bother with Blu-rays? So that's why they never there's I'm not saying there's nobody who bought them, nobody's using them. I know plenty of people, but they never reached the same level of
No.
popularity. Yeah, and then
Yeah,
as I said,
definitely.
everybody moved on to the Netflixes and Apple TV Pluses and Amazons and whatnot of the world. Paramount Plus, Disney Plus. I mean, we have so many streaming services these days. So,
Oh, can't keep up.
yeah, exactly. Let's see. I'll pick one of my articles. I'm just deciding which one would be more interesting. I think I'll go with a hacking one. So, you might have heard of the Midnight Blizzard hack that happened a couple of months ago, I think. That was a pretty big hack from some supposed Russian hackers. We don't know, state-sponsored, not state-sponsored. At least they seem to be Russians. And yeah, so but what had happened was basically they gained access to like a test tenant on some Microsoft, I think, Office 365 systems, and through that they found some credentials that like some admin credentials that then allowed them to access more internal systems, and kind of from there they re like got into Microsoft system, and then they stole some source code, they stole a bunch of other things. And it turns out, and they spied on emails of executive on the Microsoft side, so that was quite interesting. Got to see some emails already. They apparently also tried to access, or did maybe even access, they don't know yet, I think, some US departments, some US agencies. So the VA, the Veterans Affairs, and also some State Department related agency, not further defined, was informed by Microsoft, was notified that they also, yeah, got some access to that. So single that's like how like a single set of stolen credentials can kind of snowball into yeah, can like snowball into bigger things. The U.S. Agency for Global Media, apparently it was informed by Microsoft that some of their data might have been stolen. So, not so good. Some security data, some sensitive personal personal identifiable information. How do you say? PII. The Peace Corps was also notified. So
Nice.
some data was stolen there. So yeah, it's getting worse and worse for Microsoft, basically.
Well, and it's always the same thing. There's a single
Yeah.
point, or somebody got credentials and.
Yeah, and then from there they basically keep going, and they're like, okay, where else can we go? Like, what else can we access, and what
Right.
else can we get information to, and like capture more information to then get access to something else, and like you just keep going, and that's what they did. So,
Yep.
quite a bad hack, I would say.
That's a really bad
I'm
hack.
just getting tired of all these hacks in general. I mean, just gosh, it's like there's a daily article about something that got hacked. I mean, some systems had vulnerability, and
Yeah. I
it's
mean,
just this is everyday life now.
just today we got a story that didn't
Off,
hack. We got information from Authy, like
offy,
that
offy. I
phone
was gonna
numbers were
that.
stolen. I'm
Yeah.
like, oh, crap. I mean, not that phone numbers are super secure these days anyway, like you can just guess them, but that you know that a certain phone number was associated to Authy might be a
Yeah.
useful information.
Yeah, that would be bad. Well,
Like, I
like you
mean,
say,
even
it's we get so many of them, and they seem each one of them seems to be much broader than what we were seeing, 5 years ago. It'd be one little company and there'd be
Yeah.
2,000
It's like it would
customers.
be big stories, like, oh, like whatever, this company got hacked and like, oh, the world is
10
ending and
people.
all of that. And today we're and these days it's like, oh, another one. Like, we don't even get the stories about all the hospitals that get ransomware anymore because it's basically happening all the time. It's like never ending. All the companies, even said it was a big deal like 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, but these days it's like, eh, another one.
Yeah, and they come so fast you forget. The one that really worried me was the healthcare one, United, a
United
branch of
Healthcare.
United Healthcare was about 2, 3 months ago, because that's my insurance company. So now I know all my information's out there, and that was a huge,
Happened.
huge breach.
It I mean,
happened
at
here
what
too. This
point?
happened here too with one of the biggest children's hospitals in Chicago, Lurie Children's Hospital. Massive data breach, and they still recovering from that. But they got back everything back up and everything. But they know people's information's been was leaked.
I mean, at what point do you just say, at what point do you just give up and say, fine, let's just put everything out there? It's like it doesn't even matter anymore. At least you can steal anymore
Basically,
because it's anyway on the internet.
yeah,
I
basically.
mean, you can train your AI with it, but.
The only thing I worry about is how do you is the stolen identity problem. How do you prove that you're you if somebody else, opens
Yeah, there's that.
a credit card account in your name? How do you prove that they're not you
It,
and
to
you are?
be honest, I'm not even sure these days you can prove that beyond any doubt. I mean, how can you prove on this call that you're you?
It's
I
almost
mean,
impossible.
we've seen like AI that is good enough that on a video call it could fake like you. And there might be things where we might notice that you're not you. Because I've met you and I'm like, oh, Tom is behaving really weirdly today. But it might take a while.
So does it mean that we're going to end up going to fingerprints and iris scans every time we go to the bank?
Probably, yeah. I mean,
Potentially.
to some extent, it's already happening.
That's true. We're doing it on our phones.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an interesting question. Like, how are you? There was some podcast like a couple of weeks ago about that. Like, how do we in the future prove that something is really from us, that it was created by a human being, and that this is from us? We can't. Or at least we haven't figured out how. Maybe we can, but for now we haven't figured that out yet. Maybe in the quantum computing world, it gets all of a sudden easier because we can prove that something was created by us. Who
By
knows?
the time that happens, it won't be a problem for me because I'm not going to be here, I don't think.
You never know. Maybe you survive that one.
Quantum computers and fusion energy, I think, are the two
Yeah,
things I'm
it's
going to miss.
true. Yes. Well, and World War III. If you're lucky.
I hope I missed that
Yeah, so. I think that's enough about the stories. But what we can't get enough of is TSL Host, because that
Oh.
is our sponsor for the shows. Has been for many, many years. They're a genuine company. Like, we could prove they're really good because they give us two really cool servers in the UK, for free. So we can host a live stream and live chat. We can like put all our episodes up on the website and have some other cool things, and yeah, they're just really awesome. So they offer servers, they offer web hosting. If you need a WordPress site, they can offer that. Like they host it for you, and you just like set up your content. If you need a domain name or an email account, they have that as well. They have a really, really cool portfolio of services for people that like need stuff like us, for example. And all they want for the sponsorship of BTN is a little bit of a brand recognition that we mentioned them, and that you go out there to on your like to your so favorite social media of choice and just thank them and say thank you, TSO Host, for supporting the British Tech Network. Thank you for being a really good and really long-term supporter of this very show. They've really been around for a couple of years with us, and we're very appreciative. I'm not sure we could do this without them. And I mean, I can tell you from since I'm running the servers, I can tell you they're rock solid. Never had a problem. All the problems were either me messing something up, or I think we had once a bullying issue that came out of the very, very special nature of BTN, because we get like every year we get a £0 invoice, and the system just couldn't handle £0. So it's like, oh, you didn't pay your so your point in pound invoice. So that was the only issue we've ever had, and it was very quickly resolved. Like we just reached out to them, and they're like, oh yeah, right, sorry, we resolved it. Sorry, it will not happen next year. We'll figure out how to do this. So they're really good. And the really cool thing is, if you wanna buy like a domain name or a posting package, a server, they offer you 20% off, and all you have to do is you use the code BTN20, and you get 20% off anything you put in your like shopping cart. At least what Tissot Host offers, I should say. If you put a TV in there, they're not going to do that because that's not how that works. And speaking of our website and our chat, we have a new chat system. We mentioned that, I think, at the beginning of the show and also the last couple of shows. We switched away from IRC chat. It was fine. It's one of those old technologies, worked really well for a long time, but it's kind of started to not age very well. And we were having issues. And anyway, all the streams have moved on, like the YouTubes and other streaming platforms out there. They usually have the chat window next to the live streaming video, and you can kind of like watch and chat at the same time, and it's super easy, and you don't need to register and download a client and all of that. And we kind of wanted that, and we found a really cool solution. We're hosting on our server. It's a Fediverse solution. And with that, we can stream this, you can watch it, and you can chat like with us. And it's really cool. It has some really funny names that get generated, like the Brave Raman,
That's the
the Naughty Bartik. I don't know what like random names, but you can just like click on the top right corner on the purple little button and change your name. You can even authenticate with your Fediverse account, unless for Dave somehow doesn't work, we'll have to look into that. But for everybody else, seemed to have worked. And then you get a little nice little check mark next to your name, and that shows us, yes, you are authenticated. You are the person you say you are. So that's pretty cool. And it persists. So if you change your name, next time you go there, we'll be there. So it's pretty good, pretty solid solution. We're very happy. And all you have to do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we're recording, which is usually Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, for the big show. And Fridays, where we talk about the Apple side of things, we'll talk about some stuff tomorrow, including Macworld, I wanted to say. Including not Macworld, because that's over.
That would
Next
be amazing.
That would be cool. No, Mac stock, of course, including Mac stock. We'll talk about that tomorrow, 4 p.m. UK time, if you want to join that as well. And if not, we have a transcript. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and there's a calendar on the page, and you just select the date you want to see, and any time between June 2nd, 2020, sorry, 2015, already 2020, it's like June 2nd, 2015, and today, which would be July 4th, of course, 2024. If you put that date in, then it will show you what we talked about in the chat today. And now it's time for a cool thing. So who has one for us? Let's see, who is fastest? Fast fingers.
Think I do. There we
You
go.
do. Yes, you do. Oh, wow. Yes. That's a really cool
Yeah,
thing.
this is a new TV series on Apple TV Plus. I'm absolutely enjoying it. It's called Presumed Innocent. It's actually based out of Chicago. It's
Nice.
starring Jake Gyllenhaal, and it is the story of a Cook County lawyer that was had an affair with one of his co-workers, and it's all boiled down that she was murdered, and it's all circling around that he's presumed innocent, and it's a really, really, really good story. And it's David E. Kelly's is in the direct is the director, And he did some he's done a lot of great shows. So it's it is a really good show, so I highly recommend it. It tells a story of a horrific murder that upends the Chicago prosecuting attorney's office when one of its own is suspected of the crime. So really good show. Check it out. I think they're on about episode 5. I just finished watching it yesterday, and absolutely loving it. Check it out.
That looks good.
Very nice. Very cool.
Do they do a good job representing Chicago accurately?
For the most part, I mean, they're doing a lot of you see a lot of scenes in downtown Chicago, and you see the buildings, and it seems like it's a Chicago's always known for its interesting politics, so I think it's represented pretty well.
Pretty cool. I saw the trailer and I was very interested in it. We should always mention, because it's Apple TV Plus, people might think, oh yeah, I can't watch that, I don't have an Apple device. Doesn't matter, it's a streaming service like any others.
Streaming
Ignore the
service.
Apple, it's a streaming service, and you can use
Apple
it on
TV
any of your
Plus.
devices, even in your browser, works anywhere. So they're smart like that. They know that people will watch it no matter where they want.
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Tom, you have a very cool thing as well.
My cool thing is a book. It's called Valley of Genius, The Uncensored History of Silicon Valley. It's from 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. 2018, so it's a little bit old, 6 years old. It's written by a guy named Adam Fisher, who is, I think, basically a journalist. He's worked for various publications. And the style of the book is a little bit weird. It took me a while to get used to it. What he did was he interviewed a bunch of people from the early days, sort of late 60-ish, starting there. People involved with, like Atari with Nolan Bushnell and people that worked at Xerox PARC, some of the Macintosh team, Stuart Brand from Whole Earth Catalog, all those kind of stories. And the way he did it, he took all these interviews and apparently printed all the transcripts of the interviews, and he would come up with a story like, let's talk about let's talk about the beginning of Atari. And he'd go look through all these interviews of people that were involved and for different events at the beginning of Atari, and he kind of cut and paste all the quotes in there. So the way you read it is, Nolan Bushnell says this, then Steve Jobs says this, then person X says this. I guess you call that first person sort of oral history that's written. So it's a little weird to get used to. At first I didn't like it, but once I started reading it, it kind of grew on me. And it had, really interesting stories about, like, Doug Engelbart, the guy that is credited with inventing the mouse, kind of in the mid 60s, a long time ago, how PARC took all that with the Alto machine, and he interviewed people who were at PARC, and he interviewed people from Apple who came and saw the demos at PARC, and gives you a lot of really good information about how all that stuff went down. Atari is kind of a fun read. It was the first sort of hippie, drinking, smoking dope, wearing t-shirts and jeans to work company that was pretty out of control. So it was kind of fun to read some of those stories. Anyway, Valley of Genius by Adam Fisher.
Nice.
Very cool. I have to check that out. Sounds like a really cool book. Thank you. So I think I'm gonna
Thanks.
switch. I think switch mine. Because like I wasn't sure. Like I have a cool thing in front of me, but I think I'll keep that for tomorrow. Talk about that.
What is it?
I
Secret
have
pouch.
secret pouch. Yes. So I have a cool thing. That's a book. So I've been, since I discovered that there is actually Star Trek books, which I did not know about. Like, I mean, which is crazy if you think about it. Like, I think last year I discovered them. So what is that? 50 years, 50-ish years after? I think there have been a lot of really good books written that I've missed. But I got into it with kind of more or less by accident, and I discovered, I think Chuck mentioned something or someone, and I was like, oh, there's books. And since then, I've been like on a like tear with like Star Trek books, Discovery especially. So, but also some Picard, for example. This is the third book, I think, of the Star Trek Discovery series. Yeah, book three. It's Fear Itself is the title. Star Trek Discovery, Fear Itself, written by James Swallow. And it's a story about Saru, which is one of my favorite characters on Discovery,
Yeah,
actually.
Saru. Yeah, I love him.
Really good character, really interesting, like a lot of layers. And not my favorite character, there's still one more, like there's like Burnham and just for sure, like Suniqua
Yeah.
is really great. But Saru is awesome. And this is kind of the origin story, you would always say, because it starts with him on the planet. Like he's born on the planet, and yeah, he kind of goes off to like join Starfleet eventually and join the Shenzhou and work like yeah with Burnham and like everybody you would expect there. And yeah, he breaks protocol to prove himself to his crewmates. He's kind of trying to figure himself out, like he's like get kind of more control of his fear, but also be a better leader because he's getting into a leadership position. And he kind of, and we see that sometime in Discovery as well, like early on, where he kind of figures that out. And yeah, there's a rescue mission that they want to do to save a vessel in distress, and it completely escalates, and Saru is forced kind of into command role that he's absolutely 100% not at all ready for. And yeah, two alien races that he has to kind of fight against, and that's the whole story there. And it's a really good book, where he's kind of faced with like also like the ideals that he kind of like worked with and worked based his entire life upon, and now he has to kind of question and has to see like, do I have to compromise them to like kind of resolve the situation or not? And yeah, it's a really, really good book, 10 hours long, really well written. It's an audiobook as well, if you like it. That's how I listen to it. Well, link to, but it's also a written book if you like it, text on page kind of thing. I'm more audiobook, so really good narrator, in this case, Robert Petkoff, really good. And yeah, it's a good book. Highly recommended.
I
The
think
entire series is good.
the series is amazing. I'm gonna miss it. 5 years. It's 5 year mission. It just ended, and it's Doug Jones that played Saru was just an amazing actor. And just I many things, watching in the Ready Room, watching all the background for him and all the characters for that matter. Just what he went through to get all that makeup gone and
Oh yeah.
hours upon hours, and the way he moves his arms and
Yeah, like the
how
whole
he learns that.
moving,
Yeah, like a robot almost, and
like
the area in the
not
back,
like
like that,
swinging them behind his
swinging him in the
back
back. Yeah. So he's got he
yeah.
they had his movements just darn perfect. Yeah,
What I really
that should
like
be a
about
good
the
read.
books is that they kind of augment, like some elements show from the books showed up in the stories in the show later, and a lot of it is augmenting stories around it, like this one here. Like we learn a little bit about Saru in the show, but this kind of and about for sure Burnham, like all the other characters, and this kind of augments that and gives you extra background and extra stories and extra things for them to do, which like is really interesting. Sometimes happening in between the shows, the seasons, sometimes happening alongside, before, after, kind of overlapping. It's really interesting. I'm
Yeah.
listening to, I think, the seventh or sixth book right now, and it's super interesting. Like all of them are very different, very interesting, different characters. Like it's not always about the main character, like Burnham or
Sure.
whatever. Sometimes it's like oh, what is whatever? What like if, I don't know. Pick another character. What is Tilly doing, or what is like
Yeah.
where's Saru come from, or like sometimes it's like some random crewmate like that you might not see all the time. But the others show up, but it's more about them. Like we had Lorca, like there was a story in one of the earlier books, there was a story about Lorca. We don't learn too much about him because we only meet the evil Lorca in the TV show. But we learn we meet the real Lorca in the book form. And that's super interesting to see, like how does that compare, and like how did he end up even in like the mirror universe eventually and all of that.
Yeah.
So super interesting.
Yeah, good pick.
Okay. All right.
Patrice, have you been happy with your membership of with Libro?
Oh, very much. I got some really nice messages from my bookstore, which I'm super happy about. A really good bookstore. And the app is getting better and better there. Like, I mean, it was already pretty good, but they're adding like a couple features. There's still some stuff they're not doing. Where I'm like, okay, for example, keeping the speed of the like that you've chosen, like I always listen to everything at 1.5 or 2.0 speed,
Right.
and it resets for every book. So I'm
Oh.
like, I've emailed them and they're like, okay, we'll add it to this and we'll do it. Like, it's not a problem. We'll add it, so it will come. Makes sense to do that, but they kind of
Yeah, I
do.
really like the idea that you're local, you can choose the local
Yeah,
bookstore that gets the
you
cut.
choose
That's
your
the best.
bookstore
That's
if
great.
it participates, but there's so many I've seen it listed. In Austria there were only, I think there was only one, but it's an English service, so yeah, that's probably not so common. But I saw in the UK and the US there were plenty. So, and it's really, they get, and they're not more expensive than Audible, that's the thing. And except for some Audible exclusives, which that's why they're exclusive, that's why Amazon does that, you get everything. Good thing. I do recommend. All right. I think we're done for today. Thank you so much that you spent your 4th of July with me. At least for like a little bit. I mean, you still have to most of the day in front of you, so you can still go party,
Yes.
Tom, if you
Yep.
want.
Yeah.
Dave, maybe not so much, but watch some more TV shows and relax.
You could always find a place where they're showing fireworks on the TV, and
That's true. That's
I mean they're
always
gonna
a
be
good.
they blow them up, they launch them around not too far from neighborhood. You can hear them. I won't be, probably won't be able to see much, but.
Yeah. So you still have some time. Dave, thank you so much for joining us and let the nice people know where they can find out more about you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm at In Touch with iOS and intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. We're actually not good. I normally record on Thursdays, so we're recording Fridays, which I accommodated to have Patrice come on the shows for her schedule. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow as we record this. I'm on the Mac on my Mac Voices Live and with Chuck Joyner and all of our crew on Tuesday nights. Come here once in a while on Big Screw, and I'm also on the Mac Show on Fridays. So, but and my Mastodon is DaveG65 and mastodon.cloud. Thanks.
Very nice. Thank you, and I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow and to
Yeah, me too.
like joining the show. And Tom, as always, I'm always happy to have you here to also, you always bring such really cool like chip related stories and you always learn something new. So thank you for that and let the people know where they can find out more about you.
You can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. That's the best place to find me.
Great.
Good. Always good. Mastodon SFBA is actually a pretty good server, I have to say.
It's a really good
Really.
server. Yeah, they do a great job.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not
So, yeah.
as good as Tech Hangout.social, but
That
of
is
course not. Of
literally
course not.
true. That is
That's the
definitely
best
true.
one.
That is the best one. Yeah, if you want to join that, reach out to like either one of us. We'll have you an invite. Like we can hook you up. It's invite only. It's a very exclusive club. There's some really cool podcasts like In Touch with iOS and the British Tech Network, for example, and Retro Rewatch now, that are there. Speaking of Retro Rewatch, Jeff and I have a new podcast where we rewatch retro shows, or I rewatch them. Jeff has never seen them before, so that's the fun part. Like he's like, I'm like, what? You like this? It's a 27-year-old show. We're rewatching Stargate SG-1, and you've never seen that? Like, how is that even possible? So there's no guarantees. We might switch to another show. We might jump ahead or skip episodes or whatever and come back to them, like have guests on, not have guests on. Like there's literally none, like we can do whatever we want. There's no, we're watching one thing and one thing only, so stick with us. But so far we've been on a roll with Stargate SG-1, the third episode, which is not the greatest, I'm gonna admit, but it was a fun thing to
I've
talk about because it's, oh my
heard.
god, it's out tomorrow morning. So tomorrow morning, US time, afternoon here, basically in Europe, there will be another episode in your podcast players. So head over to retrorewatch.com or put Retro Rewatch in your favorite podcast player of choice and you will be informed when it's available. That the third episode is, yeah, it's a doozy. So, but it was actually quite fun to talk about it with we had thoughts. I can tell you that we had thoughts.
Always do.
And yeah, everything I do, all the projects and podcasts and everything, you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And I'm usually, when the shows are happening or I'm not traveling for work, I'm here Thursdays and Fridays on the Big Show and the Mac Show. And as I mentioned, Tech Hangout, no, not Tech Hangout, British Tech at techhangout.social is our Mastodon for British Tech Network. That's where we post if anything happens. If we're canceling shows, not doing shows, or if we're doing shows and they're live, all of that you will find there on Mastodon. So that's the easiest way how you can find out what's happening. You don't even have to register because you literally just head over to techhangout.social, find the user, have it open on your website or whatever you want to do with it. Like that's what Mastodon is about. Like it
Right.
shares information even if you're not logged in. So it's a public network, not like some other networks. And I think with that, thank you to you, so host. Thank you, everybody. Happy 4th of July to everybody who's celebrating in the US and in the rest of the world. And have a good week. See you then.